Tereo Ererangi o Te Mania. This episode was produced in Otatahi by Plains Media, with support from New Zealand On Air.
This is Bold Women on the Move, the show for migrant women making their way in New Zealand and across the world. With your host, Moreni Ke. Welcome to another episode of Bold Women on the Move, and also to our project Now That We Are Here. Last time we had Amanda Spitz in the studio, and we started a conversation about understanding the New Zealand education system. We looked at the justification, the kind of education philosophy being learner-centered, and we also started off on the aspect of the qualifying exams that students have to take when they complete their high school, you know, in New Zealand. So this conversation continues today. We're going to build more on that and learn more about the various examination process in the New Zealand high school or secondary schools system. So, yeah, happy listening. Sit back. Pause if you want to. Just listen and get the needed information you need to empower yourself and your tamariki and your whānau. You're listening to Bold Women on the Move, kindly brought to you with support from the Ratu Foundation and Ministry of Ethnic Communities. Listen to Bold Women on the Move wherever you're going. Subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and plains.org.nz.
There are two things that happen in the senior school in terms of NCA as well, is that you will have some internal assessments and external assessments. So I'm moving now from the philosophy and moving into this now.
So the way it is accessed,
Which are linked. So the formative part is about, it's just working through that. So a teacher will decide how they want to be able to teach that subject. And they need to know that when they'll finish that subject area or that module that they've been teaching, and that students understand this and they're able to apply it. From there, they can do what they call an internal assessment. In other words, they get assessed in the school. The teacher puts together the assessment. That gets quality assured by NZQA, and then the students get that assessment, and they will do that in class. Now, that could be in the form of a project that they've done, or it could be where they're sitting down in class and actually doing an assessment. It's like a test from countries like South Africa. So those are your tests, but they're a little bit different to you. They are standardized, but it's your external exams that are more standardized from what we know from our countries.
Yep.
The external exams are very important.
Very, very, very.
Is the big thing. Mm. But yeah, it is split between two. So sometimes during exam time, your child might come home and say, it's exam time, usually October, November, so around about this time of the year.
I'm already hearing that story at all.
Yeah, child's saying, well, I've only got one external exam. And you're with, oh, I don't think so. You're on the phone to the teachers and say, why has my child only got one exam? You know, when they've got six subjects, you know. And so understanding that some of those assessments were completed during the school year.
Mm.
And so that's part of their overall achievement. So the external exams, some subjects have got compulsory external exams that they have to do. Other subjects, you can actually gain that right throughout your school year. This is important to know, because if students haven't been doing really well during the year and they haven't been achieving internal assessments, it means it puts a lot of pressure for them at the end of the year, where they have to do a lot of external assessments to be able to get their NCA level one, two, or three.
Or credits.
Yeah.
Mm.
And you've just touched on what I haven't spoken about, and that's credits.
Mm.
So whereas we come from a system, and most of the countries that come, migrants that come in, come from a system where you've had not an achieve system, but pass or fail.
Yep.
So you understand that you've got 60% for that subject, so it's a pass, so it's all fine. But yeah, in New Zealand, we've got now in the NCA system, we've got credits. So you've got a certain amount of credits that you've got to gain in NCA 1, NCA level 2, NCA level 3 to be able to achieve those NCA 1, 2 or 3. You've got your minimum credits. Within those minimum credits, you have to have, additionally, your literacy and numeracy credits.
Okay.
That you've got to gain.
Okay.
In that space. So you will be writing an assessment to make sure that you have got your numeracy and your literacy so that the education system is satisfied that when you leave school, that you can leave with a minimum numeracy and literacy skill level.
Now, we can see that discussion about education, it may appear a bit complicated, but don't let's feel that it's confusing. What we are trying to do here is to provide information for those of us that are migrant, because there is a lot happening when you move into a new country. And you're also trying to, as much as possible, support your kids, you know, so that they don't feel left alone. The next question I would like to ask is, I'm aware that there is what is called, you know, we're talking about credits. There's what is called the literacy, the numeracy credits. And I'm also aware that there's a new government policies around that. Do you want to explain how that works in the New Zealand system? Yeah.
Yes. And I just want to reiterate, yes, this is a lot of information. And today is about information giving.
Yeah. Let's get ready for it.
Get your notepad out and take the notes, because that's what it is. Because there's a lot of information. But I think we'll talk later about how to, as a parent, how to access the support from school to be able to help your child.
Yeah.
And I think that's important just to know at this stage. The literacy and numeracy is also an interesting one. So there are two things I think we'll cover here. The first one is, as we say, in NCA, level 1s, 2 and 3, you can get your literacy and numeracy credits in different ways. Now, what we know, I remember when I first heard the word literacy and numeracy, I went, oh, literacy, is that reading? Numeracy is how to count.
Yep.
I didn't quite understand the, you know, coming from South Africa, because I'm, you know, maths, English. That's what I come from.
And they were compulsory subjects.
And you all had one exam to do.
You
had to pass it. And in South Africa, you actually had to pass English to get to the next level, and we worked on standards, so we had to get to the next standard.
So also math, I mean, in Nigeria, like almost all subject or courses that you will choose in the university, you've got to have maths and English, at least a credit. Even if it's the least credit, which is known as achieved level here, you've got to have a credit in each of those subjects.
To a point, we've also got to have that.
Okay.
So in NCA level 1, 2 and 3, to be able to get through and to you need to have at least your literacy and numeracy credits. And you can get those credits in a number of ways. And this is what I think really confuses parents. You don't have to get literacy credits in English.
Okay, that's interesting.
And you don't have to, you can actually get it through what we call literacy-rich subjects.
Okay.
So an easier way to sort of look at that, are there subjects where you have to write essays on a topic or a number of topics?
Okay.
So if you look at subject areas, and we'll recognize our subject areas, like history, that's very literacy rich.
Yeah,
that means you need to write, you have to think critically, you need to be able to bring in ideas and think through the ideas. And so you can get your literacy credits through something like
the
history.
Subject, yeah.
Biology is another one. You know, it's literacy rich where you're writing a whole lot of ideas about what's happening with the human body, for example, or whatever. So, and there are a whole number of other subjects that you can actually get those credits through. So if your child comes home and said, no, I've got my literacy credits because I got it through history.
Yeah.
So that's what they call cross-crediting. Just as long as you've got enough history credits, you can take one of those to add to your literacy credits.
Okay.
So I can imagine the parents sitting there going, what?
Yeah. Right now. Like I'll query my girls and I'll say, no, you're still going to do English.
Yeah. What is interesting? Yeah. I mean, you know, and some people can take English because they want to choose English as maybe something that they want to follow through when they go through to tertiary education.
Yep.
That's a whole different ballgame. But just know as parents, we can actually get those credits from other areas. The teachers will guide our students about what subject areas you can use for those credits. So know that for during the year. I can't say every school. Most schools will have a little booklet that explains NCA.
Okay.
And that explains, and it should have how you can gain different credits.
What they do in my girls' school is they organize like an information evening.
That's the second part.
Yeah.
So that is really important. When we're talking about support, how do I support my child? Knowledge is power, parents.
Yeah.
Knowledge is power.
Mm.
So asking, can I see your NCA booklet or your information booklet for you? So getting an understanding of that. They will have information evenings, usually even at the end of year 10. Sort of term 3 of year 10, they will start having information evenings for parents and for the students to understand NCA because they have to start looking at subject areas. So that's the first part when you're introduced to NCA. Then in year 11, you'll probably have another session about the actual exams and what that looks like and what does credits look like, what is internal assessments. Not exams, they are internal assessments and external assessments. So exams, you can see I said exams so easily because that's still what I'm used to after 27 years.
Yeah, I know.
So important to understand and that there is that support. Do go to the schools.
Okay.
So those are open days and open meetings where you can go and do go to all of those. That doesn't mean that you can't, during the course of the year, contact the school dean. It's not something we haven't spoken about it yet.
Yeah.
But the school has a system where
the management
they have
system in the school.
Yeah. So a dean of this of a year level is in charge of that year level and it's good to contact them. Or every school, every child will have a form teacher.
Okay.
Or they call them different names.
Yeah, like they call them. I think they call them Fano teacher.
Fano teachers, yeah. Arco teachers. So those words you hear means it's their form class or their group. And those can be just one year level, or a form class could be made up of different year levels. It depends on what the school structure is.
Yeah.
But the reason why I'm mentioning this is they know your child.
Okay.
So the form teacher is a really good person to get on board with to be able to, if you've got any questions around NCA, how your child is doing. And often I have conversations with parents, okay, I don't see any homework happening.
Yeah,
that's
why I talked about support.
We'll talk about that later because that comes in there. So.
Because my kids, we grew up, you know, back in Nigeria, they will always come home with one homework or the other to do. And there are two ways as parents you can go about it. Is either you employ another teacher that comes to the home to put them through. So that's another level of support. Or you have to make the time to provide that support. But I don't see them doing that. They kind of are able to do those things by themselves here, I don't know where to come in. Like, that's a major challenge.
We will come back. I think we need to come back to homework and what that looks like.
Okay.
And that. I just want to go on to, because we've had a new government.
Yeah.
And so if you, what's come in this year and people are starting to get used to is the co-requisites. So you'll hear that word co-requisites or the literacy and numeracy exam.
Okay.
So you'll, or the assessment.
Assessment.
You'll hear that coming through from your child. And this is done all at school. At a certain time of the year, the school in this 1 week will arrange for the reading, writing, and numeracy assessments to be done. Now, these assessments are done all online. They're digital. So you don't have to worry about anything. The school has to set up that time and place for the students to do this assessment. And it really, what that assessment does is it's a time and a place. Your child at this time and date has this literacy level and this numeracy level. Literacy level is divided into two. It's about reading and writing. So this is the level that your child is at for reading. This is where they are at writing. And this is where they are at their numeracy.
Numeracy. Okay.
So numeracy is not necessarily the big maths that we all know, but they'll be asking different types of questions around the maths. So that'll be maths calculations, or it could be some problems around maths that they'll need to do. Every school will make sure, best practice for schools is that they will prepare their students for these assessments.
Okay.
So there might be, like later on, as we get into this more, they'll have more pre-assessments to be able to help the students through.
To prepare.
But essentially, the school will make sure that they are preparing the students for this.
Okay. So now let's talk about the support in all this. How do we as migrant family come in? How do we support our kids with NCEA level, with schoolwork in general, and maybe with the new policy of the literacy exam? How do we come in? How do we support our kids?
Again, I'm going to come back to the knowledge is power.
Okay. Yeah,
understanding what your child is doing at the different stages of their education career. So what are they doing? Understanding, having conversations with the teacher. So every school will have parent-teacher interviews.
Okay.
So they are 15 minutes, eh? So
yeah,
short, sharp.
Short for the subjects.
For the subjects. And
no, it's 5 minutes. It's actually minutes per 15. Subject.
Oh, per subject.
Per subject. Yeah.
In primary school or intermediate at the moment. I'm just thinking of my daughters now.
Okay.
My daughter. It's 15 minutes that you get, and you're able to go and see, because it's, you know, there's a lot more about, you know, seeing their work and them presenting stuff.
Mm.
So up to intermediate school, you will get a little bit of time. But yes, your high school, it is literally.
Yeah, 5 minutes for
a range of 5 minutes for the subject. Mm. So you're going there. And so a lot of parents think, why am I going there for 5 minutes? Like five. But you must remember, you're actually going there per subject.
Per subject, yeah.
What is really important in those 5 minutes is to get the best out of those 5 minutes. So get down to business. Ask the questions that you want to ask. Find out, how is my child doing? Are they at the level that they need to be? And what can I do at home? Those three questions.
How is my child doing?
How's my child doing? Is my child working to the level that they need to be?
The achievement level at least.
Achievement level at least.
Mm-hmm.
And what can I do to help?
What can I do to help?
Okay. So that's the base thing. As we go along in high school, you will start getting to know from these interviews how your child is doing, and obviously the reports that come home as well. So other questions as you get to know your teachers, your child's teachers, then you ask the questions around specific things. I noticed that my child's not doing so well. my child is getting a not achieved. Now, we haven't spoken about not achieved yet, or not yet achieved. That's what it is. Not yet yet achieved. How can they go from a not yet achieved to at least an achieved? So those are direct questions. How can I get my child from here to here? What do I need to do at home? What does my child have to do as well? So asking those direct questions. Now, 5 minutes is a quick time. You will gauge in those interviews who you want to come back and speak to.
Okay.
It's not the only time you see the teachers.
Okay.
So we are allowed to be proactive parents here in New Zealand.
Mm.
We are able to email our teachers. We are able to call them.
Okay.
And we can make arrangements to see them after school.
Okay.
Or during school, you know, it depends on whatever arrangement you make with your teachers. If you are concerned about your child, or you just want to know how you can support your child at home, whatever your situation is, you can contact the teachers.
Mm.
Whether it's their direct subject teachers, the form teacher, the ARCO or FINO teacher, or their dean.
Okay.
You can contact them. So those are some of the support systems. The other support systems is, and this is a lot of conversations I have, is when they're getting to subject choices.
Okay.
Mm. Subject choices becomes can be quite an anxious time for a lot of people and for a lot of students, because some are thinking about what they're going to do after school.
After school, yeah.
So am I going to university? Am I going to do a trade? Am I going to work? Am I going to take a year off? Whatever the situation is. They're still thinking about, if I take this subject now, is that going to impact, or if I don't take that subject now, is that going to impact what I can take at university or as a trade or anywhere else at a polytech? So those conversations are important to be able to have, to know the implications of subjects that you take. So that's just another complicated part of it. But
yeah.
The support that I want to say in that space is connecting with a careers advisor
okay,
at the school.
Yeah, I think that there's that support
really
there.
Important, because what a lot of the careers advisors have is they have what they call CareerWise. So it means that students can log into the space and they can find out what's happening. So they'll have information there, or they'll have it in their offices around what subject choices are important when you're wanting to go in this direction or that direction, or what subject choices are important if you are not sure yet, but you want to keep your bases there.
Okay.
So take this range of subjects. You know. So that's specifically about around subjects and what you might be able to take later on in your school, your education career.
Mm.
So touching base with a careers advisor, really, really good. As parents, you're able to actually access, you can actually ask the careers advisor if you can get a login to, I think it's CareerWise. Right now I'm actually thinking is a CareerWise, but it's basically the portal for careers in schools.
Okay.
And if you can get into that portal, you will see all the things that are coming up. So it's not just about subjects, but it will tell you about what are the open days that are happening at tertiary education, what are courses that are coming up, who's coming to the school, because often you'll have all these people from tertiary providers coming into schools to talk to the students. And sometimes if you see that and you're interested, see if you can actually join one of those information sessions.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I say get involved.
Yep.
You can. So so just check in to see what is happening, where you can get information. Knowledge is power. Knowledge you're able to help.
Mm.
The other thing that I want to say that is supported for your student to be able to understand and get an idea of what to do next, most schools have gateway programs.
Okay, what's that?
So a gateway program is a way for students to be able to taste different things in life. So like career options. So you might speak to the gateway coordinator. So schools, careers, usually, and I say usually, will have a gateway coordinator and a careers advisor. So So if you are really, really interested, or your child is really, really interested in a certain subject or a certain career direction, they might speak to the Gateway coordinator to see if they can go and do some work experience over there. Or they might even go and see if they can get just a catch up with somebody in that workplace just to see what they're doing. So there are various ways in which Gateway coordinators can work with students. And they can do maybe a whole placement. You know, they might go to work experience for a few weeks. And within that, they can do some unit standards or assessments or whatever they can do. So it is a good way to be able to test the next waters. Also, if your student is struggling, sometimes that's another way to be able to gain credits in NCEA.
Wow, so much unpacking going on there. I know it can appear to be a lot of information, and some of us may already be feeling like experiencing information overload. That is not our intention. I'm just glad and happy to let you know that the podcast is there on Plains Media website, and the podcast is also there on Spotify. It's not going anywhere. We even have past episodes from 2-3 years ago that you can catch up on. So you can always pause. You can always listen again if there's any information that is not clear to you. I also want you to know that there are counselors in each of our kids' school that are available to chat with us about whatever area of challenge our children might be experiencing in their study. So take time to, you know, make time create a time, maybe just send them an email or a text and fix an appointment and then go in and chat about your child's welfare. So this is it for now. Till we'll come your way again on Bold Women on the Move and continue this conversation on Now That We Are Here. It is bye for now. Thanks for joining me, Morenike, on Bold Women on the Move. I'd like to thank the Rata Foundation and Ministry for Ethnic Communities for their grants which made this show possible. You can help grow the show by subscribing, rating, and reviewing Bold Women on the Move on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. If you enjoyed this episode, share it with someone who you think will appreciate this conversation. New episodes come out every second Friday at 11:30 a.m. on Plains Media 96.9 FM and plains.org.nz. You can also follow Bold Women on the Move on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube for more great content. We'd love to hear from our listeners. And if you have a story to share, please reach out. Details are in the show's link tree, which you can find wherever you're hearing this. Until next time, keep moving boldly towards your dreams.